The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the fourth chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Near the beginning of Jesus' public ministry, he visits his hometown of Nazareth. In the words of Isaiah, he states and claims his identity, purpose, and mission. The Gospel text. Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Well, good morning to you, young ladies, and good morning to the boys and girls out there in internet land. I'm glad that you are all here with us this morning, in person or electronically. Today we're going to talk about promises and the promises that we make every day. Sometimes we give something to another person as a sign of our promise. Sometimes we sign our name to seal a promise. And other times we just give our word to another person that we will do something. Well, now I'm sure that you have all seen, hope I get it without knocking it down to the ground. I'm sure you've all seen something like this. It's a wedding ring. And a ring like this is often given when two people are married. They stand in front of God, in front of the altar, and they make promises to one another. They say something like, "I promise to love you for better or worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, as long as we both shall live." And then they exchange rings like this as a sign of that promise to one another, as a remembrance and a tangible remembrance. This is an ordinary letter. And as you can see, I better put this down. Here, let me do it this way. Here in the center is the address where the letter is going to be sent and delivered. And up here is the return address. But what I want you to notice is right up here in this corner. What is that? It's a stamp, isn't it? And that stamp is a promise by the Postal Service to deliver this letter to the place that it is addressed. Come rain or snow or fog or sleet or dark of night, this stamp is a promise by the Postal Service that they will deliver that letter. One other thing I want to show you, you two young ladies might be too young to have a credit card, but that's what this is, and one day you may have a credit card. And when you use a credit card at a store to buy something, you get a little receipt, a slip of paper back, and you have to sign that slip of paper, and that is your promise that you will pay the money that this credit card represents. Well, those are just some examples of the promises that people make to one another, the postal service to deliver a letter, our promise to pay. Unfortunately, sometimes people don't always keep their promises for one reason or another. But what we want to hear today and to know for sure is that God makes promises too. He promises that we will be his children, that he will be our God, and he will love us forever, no matter what. Boys and girls, the fact is that God does not break his promises to us. Those promises are sure. The Bible tells us that. And unlike the promises that people make and sometimes break, we can be sure that God will keep his promise of love and eternal life for those who love him. So, I think that's an important thing to remember today as we talk about Jesus and his mission among us, that God makes promises and we can count on those promises to be kept. Let's join in a prayer. Father in heaven, today we thank you for the gift of your promise, most especially the promise of your Son, whose life, death, and resurrection gives us the hope and promise of eternal life, a promise that will never be taken from us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, I thank you to everyone for sharing in our children's message today. Try to keep your promises. All right, dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Early in my ministry, a group met at the church St. Mark's in Hampstead, where I was the pastor. We gathered at 9:30 on a Saturday morning in order to go out into our community, to the homes closest to the church building, to knock on doors and to offer a homemade treat baked by some of the parishioners. And we asked folks if they had needs that we could fulfill, and if there is anything that we could be in prayer for them about. We went out in teams of two, each team taking a specific street. We told the folks we met that we would be doing this once a month, and that if it's all right with them, we would see them again soon. Honestly, it was a very pleasurable experience, a lot of fun. The people that we met were, by and large, open and gracious. We didn't give anyone a hard sell. We were honest about our intentions. We were trying to get to know our neighbors, those in the community immediately around the church. I believe that a church is called first and foremost to serve those closest to them. When we embarked upon the refocusing process here at First Lutheran Church, we decided to take the territory 2 miles in a radius around the church as that community. Now, you know, Metro Nashville is a large area, and the people at First Lutheran come from a wide area around that city, around this city, I should say. But we decided that we needed to focus on a smaller area. After all, Jesus instructs us to love God and love our neighbors. And, you know, we wonder how we can fulfill that commission unless we are loving those who are quite literally our neighbors. The fact is that God has placed you and me, this congregation, on this plot of land, in this building, at this address, in this very time in history for a specific reason. We are here to be Christ to our community. We are to reflect God's light and love to those around us. And let's make no mistake about it. Many of the homes, the apartments, the condos, the hotel rooms, and the dorm rooms which surround this building are filled with people who need to hear the message of God's love. People who are lonely or lost or poor in spirit or poor in pocketbook, prisoners to their sins and addictions, unable to see any way out of the mess they are in. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul says to the church, "You are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." That is a very significant statement. We are the body of Christ that meet at 113 8th Avenue South, Nashville, Tennessee, in the year 2022. That's you and that's me. And that is a huge responsibility, but it is the greatest privilege that a human being could ever know. What a gift, and what an honor we have been given. To squander it would be to throw the greatest treasure in the garbage heap. And so we are to be the people of the body of Christ to the people created in God's image, who live in the area around this church building, or who live next door to you, or down the street, or around the block from you. And we must be more than a group of folks who meet in this building. We must be something real, something tangible, something that pervades this community with the love of Christ. You know, it's amazing that Jesus has chosen to use us to build his kingdom in this place. Teresa of Avila put it this way long ago. She said, "Christ has no body now on earth but yours, no hands but yours, no feet but yours. You are the eyes through which the compassion of Christ is to look out on a hurting world. Yours are the feet with which he is to go about doing good. Yours are the hands with which he is to bless now." Before our passage for this morning, Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan. And we are told that Jesus returned from his baptism full of the Holy Spirit, and then was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness for a time of testing. Jesus refused the pathways that the devil offered him during that time of testing. He refused to be lured by wealth and power and spectacle. Then we are told at the beginning of our lesson for this morning that Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and he went into the synagogue in Nazareth, his hometown. And this is where Jesus read from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then Jesus rolled up the scroll and began to tell the people, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Now, every biblical scholar worth his or her salt will tell you that in reading and interpreting these words of the prophet Isaiah, Jesus is stating his mission, why he was sent by God the Father into this world. And therefore, it should go without saying that as Christ's body, this is our mission statement as well. You may remember that this was one of the scripture passages that we examined in the study of the biblical purpose that we are called to back at the very beginning of our refocusing process about 2 years ago in January and February of 2020. We took a look at these passages which set out God's purpose for the church. And so when Jesus announced today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing, he is proclaiming that the promised liberating work of the Holy Spirit is present in him, and it continues in us today through the power of that very same Holy Spirit. It is the good news. But what's striking to me is that it is only good news to us when we are willing to admit what is hard in our lives, what is lacking. When we admit that we sin, that we fall short of the glory of God, and that all of our work and trying is like filthy rags without the good news. You know, that's because it's not good news in general, but rather good news for the poor. It's not just release, but release to those who are oppressed. God offers words of comfort, but those words only have meaning to those living with discomfort, living with a knowledge of their failing to hit the mark. So while Jesus' message is good news, in order for us to hear it that way, we must be honest about ourselves. It must, if you will, sound to us like bad news. The bad news that we are not who we want to be, can be, and should be, and we never will be. Jesus comes bringing good news to those in need. But those who don't see, or don't want to see, or don't admit their need, generally don't want anything to do with him. And most of us, at one time or another in our journey of life, have been there. To know our mission and to understand what God has given us to do is the most important thing that we can uncover. It is the secret to life. And so, my friends, we are invited not just to hear and receive the good news, but to live it and to be it. That is what the body of Christ is. God's hands delivering the promise of salvation to all. Are you afraid, we may ask those in the houses around us? Find courage in Christ. Are you lonely? Come join our community. Are you sick? Come here. Or better, let us come to you to care for you. Are you isolated? We will visit you. Are you discouraged? Let us gather together and encourage one another. Following Jesus means accepting his mission as our own. God gives us the challenge and the strength to bring good news to the poor, release to the captives, sight to the blind, freedom to the oppressed, and new beginnings to all who have failed. Jesus went forward in the power of the Holy Spirit to his own hometown as the agent of God's mercy to the downtrodden. Shall we? In the name of Jesus, amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand as you are able, and we'll sing together our hymn of the day.